In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The epistle of the Feast of All Saints Day is taken from the seventh chapter of the Apocalypse of St. John. Like every other chapter of this prophetical book, it contains a mysterious description, first of angels about to harm the earth, then of another angel coming from the rising of the sun, who signs the foreheads of the elect, 144,000 Jews, and then there is a vision of a very large number of Gentiles. These people are clothed in white and bear palms. They adore the Lamb, who is Christ, and give praise and thanksgiving to Him. It must first be noted that the Apocalypse is a very mysterious book, and that no one really knows what the bulk of it refers to, although it is known that it contains revelations concerning the future, especially the end of the world. It does not concern, however, only the end of the world, and rather contains many passages which refer to the travails which the church has already gone through. The book constantly speaks in symbols. Saint Jerome said that every word of the Apocalypse is a symbol. Hence, the true meaning is very difficult to determine. There are, nevertheless, some probable and even very probable explanations. To explain this passage that was given to us on All Saints' Day, this passage that I described, which comes from the seventh chapter of the Apocalypse, we must first look at its setting in the Apocalypse. It occurs at the opening of the sixth seal. There is the book of the seven seals. And it occurs at that point where the sixth seal has been opened. And according to the commentators, this sixth seal is most likely the time of the Antichrist. The opening of the sixth seal in the previous chapter, that is in chapter 6, is accompanied by a great calamity, including the darkening of the sun, the reddening of the moon, and earthquake. Now here we must add, as always, that these calamities could either be of a physical order or of a moral order. That is, these calamities may be the actual darkening of the sun, the actual reddening of the moon, an actual earthquake, or they may be symbols of an obscuring of the church or the obscuring of the truth or some other form of upheaval in the church or in civil society. It is very difficult in the Apocalypse to determine exactly what these texts mean, because they could refer to something real, they could be a symbol of something else that's real. Now chapter 7, which is what is quoted in the epistle of All Saints Day, starts out with a description of the four angels standing ready to do harm to the earth. But before they are permitted to harm the earth, presumably in punishment for the sins of men, another angel must sign the servants of God on their foreheads. It then says that the children of Israel, 144,000, were signed, and then the text enumerates one by one the 12,000, each of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 times 12,000 equaling 144,000. The 12 tribes of Israel, for those who do not know, refer to the offspring of the 12 sons of Jacob. Now Jacob was the son of Isaac, and Isaac was the son of Abraham. And Abraham was the one chosen by God to found that race which would bring the Messiah into the world. Now, another name for Jacob is Israel. And hence, Israel, the present day Israel, refers to the Jewish nation, that is, the Jewish people as a whole, because they are considered to emanate as a whole from Jacob. Jacob represents the whole race in that sense. One of Jacob's sons was Joseph, who was sold by his brethren as a slave to the Egyptians. Later, when there was famine in Canaan, where Jacob lived, Jacob and his sons transferred to Egypt, where they were treated well by Joseph, who then had charge of all of the Pharaoh's belongings. The Hebrews stayed in Egypt for about 300 or 250 years, until about 1400 BC, when, owing to persecution, they were led out by Moses. The Jews retained their tribal identity up to the time of Christ, but after their dispersion by the Romans, they lost track of it. You probably know that the emperor, or at that time the general Titus, completely destroyed Jerusalem, leveled it in the year 70 AD, and transported the Jews into different parts of the empire. For the most part, some were still left there. But for the most part, they were transferred, and they ended up in what is now present-day Iraq, or Babylonia. With a few exceptions, everyone was obliged to marry within his own tribe. And that's how they kept track of it. And with relative peace existing in the Holy Land, they were able to keep these records of who belonged to what tribe. But with all of the upheaval of the captivity into which they were led by the Romans, they lost track of it over the years. Thus our Lord was of the tribe of Judah, as was David. And that's why he had to go to Bethlehem in order to be registered, because Bethlehem was in the territory of Judah, Judah being one of the sons of Jacob. The fact, however, that the Jews have lost track of their tribes does not mean that tribal identity is no longer exists. Jews follow the maternal line, that is to say, you are what your mother is. And thus, if the tribal identity of the mother were known, then the Jews could be sorted out accordingly. But the great question really is this: is the figure of 144,000 Jews real or symbolic? That is, are there exactly 144,000 to be saved, or is that a symbolic figure? And the answer is that it is disputed, like just about everything else in the apocalypse. It is generally admitted, however, that before the end of the world, the Jews as a whole will be converted to the Catholic faith. St. Paul says to the Romans, "For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened in Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles should come in. And so all Israel should be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Sion he that shall deliver and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." So what St. Paul is saying is that when, after the preaching of the gospel to the whole world, the Gentiles have given over everyone they're going to give over, essentially, then that will be the time for the Jews, and he says someone will come out of from them themselves, out of Sion, and will lead them back to the faith. "There shall come out of Sion he that shall deliver and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." St. Jerome said, when the multitude of the nations will come in, then this fig tree too will bear fruit, and all Israel shall be saved. It is probable, then, that the number of 144,000 is symbolic of the totality of the Jews. It must be understood that the number 12 in ancient Jewish symbolism stands for fullness. This should not be taken to mean, on the other hand, that every single Jew will convert, but rather it should be taken morally, that is, as a whole, the Jews will convert. When we consider their present blindness and perfidy, their conversion will be a miracle of God which will exceed all his other miracles. It should be noted as well that the tribe of Dan is missing from the list of the signed. Dan is the lost tribe of Israel, as they are no longer mentioned after the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian captivity refers to that time in the 5th century BC when they were led away into Babylon, which is present-day Iraq, by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar also leveled Jerusalem, including the Temple of Solomon, in which the Jews had trusted so much, and brought them out of the what is now the Holy Land into Babylonia. And there they stayed for 70 years in the company of Daniel the prophet. But the tribe of Dan is not mentioned from the time of the Babylonian captivity. They disappear from the records of Jewish history, and it is mysterious. Perhaps they apostatized in Babylon. We don't know. But St. Irenaeus, who lived in the 2nd century after Christ, says that the Antichrist shall be born of the tribe of Dan. The innumerable throng of Gentiles, which the text refers to after the 144,000, consists of the entire number of the Gentiles to be saved. That's why the signing of the 144,000 is a conversion. It doesn't mention the signing of the great crowd, the great throng. They are just seen there with the 144,000. But the 144,000 are the ones that are signed. This throng of Gentiles probably does not refer either to those who will be faithful to Christ during the time of the Antichrist, because we know from other commentaries that that number will be very few. The church is supposed to be reduced to a very small number during that time. But this speaks of a very large number. So the signing is confined only to the 144,000, indicating the Jews' conversion to the Catholic faith at the time of the Antichrist. It could be before, during, or shortly after his appearance. No one knows. But on or about the time of the Antichrist, the Jews, at least according to this interpretation, should convert. And the sign by which they are signed is obviously the sign of the cross. Their standing before the Lamb refers to their vision of Christ, whether on earth by faith or in heaven by the beatific vision. In any case, they are the elect of God. Their white robes refer to their state of grace. The palms in their hands refer to their victory over Antichrist, and they praise Christ for his victory. Whatever the accurate interpretation of the text of the Apocalypse should be, we should garner from it its clear spiritual doctrine, which is that the purpose of human life is to end up in heaven. All earthly things will pass away, just as we see the beautiful leaves that were once young and tender in the spring now have all shriveled up and died, and they have fallen from the trees and now are in the process of turning into soil. And the beautiful flowers of summer and the grass now will be killed by the cold, and they too will be dead, and they'll blow away and turn back into the soil. They will be forgotten forever. Their one great moment is now gone forever. They will never be again. And so the things of human life pass away. They come and they go, and they are never again. And one day all men will end up either in heaven or in hell. That is the great reality before us. Our earthly existence is but a test, and our perpetual existence is either in heaven or it is in hell. This fact should induce us to care much less about the things of this world and to focus ourselves on the things of the next world. It should induce us to begin our life of the next world here by means of a life of fervent prayer, reception of the sacraments, avoidance of mortal sin and its occasions, and a firm desire of perfection in the spiritual life. The reading of the Apocalypse should also alert us to the lot of those who are faithful to Christ. Everywhere in this book, not only in this section when the sixth seal is opened, but everywhere in the book, you see that the lot of those who are faithful to Christ is suffering, scorn, and sometimes even death. Heaven is a victory, but there is no victory without a battle. And the battle is between the city of God and the city of man, the first composed of those who love God to the point of despising themselves, the second composed of those who love themselves to the point of despising God. This fact should be a reminder to Catholics that they should quit whining, as many Catholics do, when the world rejects us, when it has scorn for us, and rather that they should accept the scorn of the world with the same courage that we accepted the sign of the cross at our baptisms and at our confirmations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.